2 weeks ago at Pentecost, we moved from the season of Easter into ordinary time. And so if you're at Mass during the week, we've returned to wearing the green vestments of growth and discipleship, the whole return to the acts of service and living the life of the gospel. And yet we have these two feast days of Trinity and Corpus Christi, Trinity in the body and blood of Christ, that are connected back to Easter, but are kind of just hanging here in the season of ordinary time. What are they doing? What's all this about? I think a lot of it is this whole sense of who God is and continuing this reflection on the very nature of God and the way that God wants us to be in relationship with Him, the way that God wants us to receive His life, to receive the gifts that He wants to pour upon us. And so in looking at this feast, I think we really only get a sense of it if we put it in the context of the whole of what we've been celebrating over the last 2 months, which began over those sacred days of Easter. And on the Holy Thursday, we had the beginning of the Triduum, the beginning of those sacred 3 days, with the example that Jesus gives. And we read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we're told that during that last meal that Jesus ate with his disciples, he stripped off his clothes to act as a servant, a slave. He got down on the ground and began to wash the feet of the disciples. And so this example of love was offered to us. And then on Good Friday, we reflected the way that the sacrifices, the sacrificial system of Judaism, this need to express love was there from the very beginning. We remembered things like Genesis 22 and that story of Abraham being invited by the Lord to offer his son, his only son, the son that he loved, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And we're told that as they made their way up the mountain, and Isaac said, well, this is the wood, this is the fire, where is the animal, where is the lamb of sacrifice? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb. And as Isaac is bound, it's where the Jewish people derive the title of that passage of the Akedah sacrifice, the binding of Isaac. As Isaac is there, bound, waiting his fate, as the young man that he is, as Abraham poises to do this terrible deed, God stays the hand of Abraham. And so we wonder at the time of the offering of Jesus on the cross, will God stay his hand? Will God say, that's enough, you've offered yourself, you don't actually have to go through with this? But no, Jesus needed to continue to choose that love. He had to say to us that there is a love that refuses to say no. And so he offered that example and that choice of love to us. And on Easter Sunday, on the resurrection day, we celebrated the victory of that love. The death would not have the final word. Sin would not have the final word. That life would be expressed. That love would be able to have that victory, because love always wins, as we know. And then during the season of Easter that we celebrated, all of those examples began to coalesce, and we began to try and make sense of how do we live that? How do we as disciples and followers of Jesus do the same thing? Jesus invites us to follow him, to learn from him, to live like him. But it's really hard to love like that. Impossible to love like that. And so this whole season was there to continue to invite us into that reflection on how to live love, how to become the lovers that God has invited us to be. And then in those last 4 weeks, as we move into that transition period towards the end of Easter and back into the season of ordinary time, we begin these series of four feast days. First, there is the Ascension. It's this sense of the reciprocity of love, the giving and receiving of love, that Jesus has to return to the Father from where he came to teach us also about this union and the unity of love and this need to give, to receive, to offer to return. This dynamic of love is also part of the lessons that we learn. And then 2 weeks ago, we had the Feast of Pentecost, and we saw that interaction and the connection between the breath of love, the spirit of love, the fire of love. And there was this dynamism, this power that was there, and that the Spirit of God was not distant, was not separate, was not absent, but was as close as the breath that we're able to receive, and the kiss and the love of God, the intimacy of God that we saw in the person of Jesus offering himself. And then last week in the feast, the great gift of the Trinity, that kind of concept that we struggle with and we try and make sense of, but above all, this sense of the dynamic union of love, that love has to be expressed, that we're caught up in this movement and this momentum of love. But the problem is that so many of these things can just remain at the concept level. So many of these things can just be things that we think about and write doctoral theses on and kind of ponder at a level that can be very abstract and very distant. But today, in this feast, we begin to experience how to live this. This is simple and as common as the altar or the table that we gather around. That it's there at the table of love that all of this becomes real. It's there at the table of love that Jesus offers himself. If we should ever doubt that God is near, if we should ever kind of wonder or question, how is God made present? How is God available to us? He simply says, it's here in this bread and wine. These are changed, these are transformed so that they become for us the very body and blood of Christ. So that when we take that piece of bread that has now been changed and transformed, we hold in our hands, we place on our tongue the very mystery of God, the very power of God, the very person of God. That when I elevate the host at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, I move God through space and time. God is as intimate and as close as the hands that we use to hold the host, the mouth that we receive him, and the body that we become as we consume the bread, now become the body, the wine now become the blood, and that we are changed. We become what we receive. We become like what we worship. There can be no more intimate way for God to become like us, for God to be available to us. How could we ever question whether God was near when he becomes us, when we take him, when we receive him, when we consume him, and he is made available to us? But the point of the body and blood of Christ is not just this personal choice and this decision that we make, but it is about the transformation of the whole of the body of Christ, the whole of the church, the whole of the community, the transformation of this group of disciples and followers of Jesus struggling in the school of love, struggling to make sense of all of this, and yet choosing to be at service in the world, choosing to make and offer ourselves within the community. And so that's why we're beginning this process and reflecting upon our life as we celebrate the parish in our parish lunch today, and reflecting upon the last 150 years of parish life, and looking at the ways that God has called us together as a community. And so that supplement that's there in the parish life this weekend, looking at the different groups and ministries and acts of service that are available to us within the parish, ways that we can offer our hearts, ways that we can live this gift and this truth, ways that we can indeed offer ourselves in service. And it's all of this that we become the body of Christ so that we can share that. We can share that gift of what God has made us to be. And this transformation is necessary, that it is that reciprocity, it is that giving and receiving. We've received so much from the Lord, and so it's our call also to return that in worship, to return that in those gifts and talents and treasures that the Lord has given to us. And so I invite you to really to read through that supplement this weekend, and to really ponder that over the next week, and to reflect on the ways that we might be able to greater enhance our worship and our service over the weeks, the months, the years ahead.